Kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back.
You either go to church or you
all right. Welcome back to the top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. It's Wednesday, November 16th, 2022. And I want to finish this a little bit. Didn't quite sneak all of that in. So Chris Hedges and the quote. You know, the Alice in Wonderland, everything is backwards, through the looking glass and down the rabbit hole stuff. You know, this is what bad guys want to do. Why are folks like Da Vinci and others learning to write backwards? Is it just because, you know, it's a way, you know, it's a cipher, it's a way to encrypt messages that other people can't read except yourself? Or is it more than that? Speaking of suspension of disbelief and plausible deniability and these kinds of things, no, I wasn't doing that. You know, it's not like it's a left-hand path kind of thing. I was just trying to, sure, all under the guise of deniability. So Chris Hedges mentions the quote as we played. And, you know, I gave the citation from Barry Popick back in 2013 and the numerous instances of this Alice in Wonderland quote that I believe is really used as much as anything to try to seduce people and lull people to sleep. We live in a society and everybody says, yeah, that's... But you know what? We have choices. By and large, I would say... The Amish community does not suffer from the problems that mainstream society, you know, the same kinds of social problems and the social engineering specifically. Why is that? How is that? Turns out maybe the Luddites had a point. So to finish the excerpt, you know, after that famous... You know, everything is backwards, everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom. Religion destroys morals, which, you know, is interesting. There is a conflating of religion with, you know, for the God of the Bible and Jesus. And that, again, is where – that's the point where – dystheism and misotheism enter in, and that's not a good thing. Pretty soon, out goes the baby in the bathwater. That's by design. There's a critter that, you know, asks the question. Genesis chapter 3 opens with the question, yea, hath God said. Did he really say? So anyway, to finish the... Here's the solution after Chris Hedges says, here's the problem. What's the solution, Chris? Here's the problem. Go ahead, please.
And the corporate state can at best only forestall the inevitable. We will be saved only with the birth of a new and militant radicalism, one that defies all formal power structures, including the Democratic Party. Which seeks to dethrone our corporate elite from power, not negotiate for better terms.
That's quite a... Yeah. I'm talking to myself. I apologize. So he says, we will be saved by what? Only with the birth of a new and militant radicalism, one that defies all formal power structures? Talk about nihilistic. One that defies all formal power structures, including the Democratic Party, but all means all, doesn't it? Well, depends on who you ask. I suppose if you ask Bill Clinton, maybe all doesn't mean all, but which seeks to dethrone our corporate elite from power, not negotiate for better terms, is what he said there at the end. Human societies seem to be cursed to repeat these cycles of exploitation. I see shades of Charlie Chaplin, you know, in this. The Great Dictator. It is you, the people, that must rise up. Wait a minute, that's textbook Karl Marx. It's a more militant Marx than even Marx could have hoped for, I think, in a sense. So this is the solution? Anyway, I think it's interesting to include that. So I want to go at this Luke thing a little bit for a moment, if I may. Because I think it's interesting. So one entry in the discussion, I would call it the Hellenistic red thread. There is a an article, you know, for the kids over at University of Arizona, Luke, Judaism and Anti-Judaism by Joseph P. Tyson. Or Joseph B. Tyson, excuse me, Professor Emeritus of Religious Studies, Southern Methodist University, August 2010. I take it to mean by the links that the reference to his book, Images of Judaism in Luke, Acts, this draws on that. And he also cites Doris L. Bergen's article over at U of A, Old Testament, New Hatreds, the Hebrew Bible and Antisemitism in Nazi Germany. And this is an interesting thing, you know. So in this piece, Tyson writes, the question I want to raise here is this. Does Christian hostility to Jews have roots in those books which Christians regard as sacred and authoritative, specifically the writings of Luke? The same question should be addressed to the other books of the New Testament, but space only allows me to focus here on Luke and Acts. And what this really is, I mean, I'll just say, maybe I should say my conjecture. How about that? What do I know? Can I impute ill intent to a man I don't know and don't particularly know of that well? I probably shouldn't. But, you know, whether he knows it or not, what seems to be at work is not a critical assessment of anything so much as the criticism that would do the same thing that Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 does. Yea, hath God said. Does it really say? It seems to work in that fashion. That's how it seems to be working. And if you understand the authorship of Paul and Luke, I mean, if you could get those two guys out of the way, you basically dump three quarters of the New Testament. That would be quite a coup, I would say. Actually, there are a couple of things before I dive into this. Two things. Let me see if I can, you know, I'm experimenting with some new, kind of ways to do these things. And I apologize for it feels kind of clunky. But, you know, hopefully we'll get the kinks worked out. So this gentleman who doesn't have a mega church, I think, says it very well. Clarence Hardin, the gospel according to Luke, he's going to dive into it. But before he does, he offers this beautiful prayer. And then after, he gives this helpful life advice. Go ahead, please.
And of course, you want to select the gospel according to Luke and chapter 1. That way you'll be able to follow us verse per verse. Why you want to follow us verse per verse? Because the enemy is deceptive. He works through people, places, and things to try to deceive you. If he can deceive you, then he can get you into his arena, and he can confuse you, and he can weaken you to where your faith is now powerless because he's filled you with confusion, doubt, and debate. And all because you didn't try the Spirit. See, when you try and test the Spirit, you're able to see what's coming before you. But if you leave this relationship between me and God, and you don't test the Spirit, this is your way of walking with God. Don't take somebody else's word for it. You research the Scriptures to make sure that which you are being taught and fed is true. Because if you don't research the Scriptures for yourself, then you're claiming my relationship with God as your own. God wants your personal relationship between you and Him, not between you, myself, and Him. Amen.
There you go. Exactly. That's exactly what Moses was saying in Exodus 20. And it is repeated. Anyway, there are a lot of misunderstandings. Again, this is not supposed to be particularly, this is not a proselytizing mission. This is to straighten out the error that is everywhere. And there are folks who call themselves Christians, haven't checked in a million years, haven't read the Bible in a million years. And I, you know, Jesus himself said there on that day, you know, many will come and say, many will come. Many is a lot, not a few. And you get the impression, you know, if you cross that with other passages, you get the impression that, you know, when you think of, well, you know, what Jesus said in places like Matthew 24 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the strong delusion kind of thing, and other places, you know, you cross-reference all of that. It seems like there are folks who didn't really have an understanding of what was going on. And so whatever one's choice is, let it be without reservation, without any sort of doubting or misunderstanding. That's all. And I'm not saying, well, I'll just leave it at that. This next bit I think is super interesting. You know, again, not to, God is no respecter of persons, and there is the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 thing, but there is also, you know, the reality that, I mean, Moses seemed to find favor with God, and so did others. Solomon prayed for wisdom. Daniel is not like every other person that we've ever met. He's a different kind of guy. And so when it comes to the New Testament, I would say Paul and Luke are unique. Anyway, Chuck Missler had some interesting things to say on that. And there is much more. There's the one story that we're going to play here. But there's much more of that kind of stuff that comes out of the book of Luke and Acts. Obviously, Acts is the Pentecostal moment, chapter 2. If you can get rid of that, well, I'll get into that in a little bit. Chuck Missler on Luke. Go ahead, please.
Well, we're going to explore the book of Luke. But we're going to start with a story that I think you'll find provocative. It's a true story, a story of Traore. And she was a 12-year-old girl. In 1835, the Bible Society here published 100 copies of the Gospel of Luke in Mari. And we still have copies of that, of course. And in 1836, missionaries gave one of these to a young Mari girl, Torori, at a mission school near Matamata. And she read it to her father, the chief of the Waikato tribe. And we're on the Waikato River as we record here. She kept her treasured copy of this Gospel of Luke under her pillow when she slept. Well, under the threat of a neighboring warring Rotorua tribe, the mission school was in the process of relocating to Tauranga. And on October 19th of 1836, at the Wairere Falls, a raiding party killed the 12-year-old girl and took the treasured object from under her pillow. Later, unable to read, the Rotorua chief discarded it until a slave boy who had learned to read revealed its contents to the fascinated listeners. The chief was convicted by the contents of the Gospel of Luke and resolved to become a Christian. The Rotorua chief resolved to seek out the father of the murdered girl and beg for his forgiveness. And when finally confronting the father, the chief of the Waikato tribe, and risking the customary tribal response of revenge, the father of the murdered girl forgave him, and thus began a peaceful relationship between the two previously warring tribes. This is a true story, and it's distributed to school children as part of their Maori heritage. A young girl murdered, a devastated father refusing to seek revenge, a murderer transformed through the gospel he stole from his victim, and then forgiveness given and peace achieved. The story of this young Maori girl and her copy of the Gospel of Luke became the key to the conversion of many Maori tribes. And when missionaries visited both the North and the South Islands, they discovered that many of the Maori tribes had already converted to Christ due to the story of Torori and her copy of the Gospel of Luke making its rounds. Well, on February 6th of 1840, the nation of New Zealand was born by the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi with the Maori tribes. While primarily dealing with land rights and other issues, the foundational document obligates the Crown of the United Kingdom to safeguard and protect the Maori's rights of worship. Since a significant portion of the Maori tribes have previously been converted to Christianity, the government is legally committed to protect Christianity in New Zealand. There are Bibles in schools. Homeschooling is encouraged, and many Christian schools receive significant government support. It seemed appropriate to record this exposition of the Gospel of Luke here in New Zealand, where it has had such a unique and special impact. So we're in Luke chapter 1. We'll have a little
There you go. If you can listen to that story without shedding a tear, by the way, you are a rock. That's quite a story if you listen to it carefully. So the video is published by the Reconciled channel on YouTube, Luke Session 01. And Chuck Missler's mentioned, I think, in the description or something, in the whatever, but not in the title of the video. And this, I believe, is from the expositional commentary. It's over at K-House. But Chuck Missler wrote an article at K-House on May Day 2001. Mention that when we come back and some other things and get back to this wrestling with this, what's going on here. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Tuesday is Election Day, so let's talk about American elections and democracy. I'm Peter Serafin. This week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system and support Freedom Hears Foundation. The U.S. Constitution set up our republic so that you and I, the citizens, only voted for our representatives in the House of Representatives. The president is elected by the Electoral College, and each state makes its own rules about how to award those electorates. It wasn't until 1824, 35 years after this process was established, before the first public vote for president was even recorded. The Senate was originally appointed by your state legislators. That changed in 1913 with the 17th Amendment. Senators are now elected by popular vote statewide, like some sort of glorified member of the House of Representatives. Why this basic history lesson? Because we the people need to remember how important our state house really is. It was your state house that called for and ratified the 17th Amendment. And it's been since the 17th Amendment that our federal government has grown out of control and inserted itself in every aspect of our lives. The state-appointed Senate used to protect states' rights and keep the federal government in check. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next week, Sinus Peshem, Parabellum.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafin, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Multitasking is terrible for radio, I realize, but got another clip. Before we do that, I think that's going to work. To answer the question specifically, regarding, you know, Luke, Jew or Gentile, my question would be, why does it matter? But on May Day, I mean, is there a particular purpose? I'll answer it directly. Chuck Missler wrote an article, May Day 2001, Dr. Luke, the Gentile Gospel. And I will give a very specific answer. But first, you know, speaking of government, you know, Chuck Missler talked about the situation in New Zealand a little bit and the framing of the government of New Zealand. He moved to New Zealand. He and Nancy moved to New Zealand, I think about 20 years ago. and spent his time back and forth. But, you know, this is the argument of folks who say America was founded as a Christian nation, and there is some truth to that. There was always the germ of intrigue and the wolf masquerading among the sheepfold. I think there is a duality of history that's pretty easy to prove. But still, you know, we have the evidence, even if it was deists, you know, there is, you know, for example, you know, I think I read somewhere that governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. For what purpose? We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Yes, we have a, you know, but let's define terms. I mean, what are we calling a man? We've had some problems with that in the past, obviously, but that doesn't mean we can't do better. And, you know, again, well, not to get mired in the controversy of slavery that's been, you know, the dead horse that's been beat to death. We can do better. All men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, et cetera, et cetera. So speaking of this issue of government, just, you know, one little bit before we get into this Luke thing, speaking of the conversation between Vody Bachum and Glenn Beck, government, there's the Romans 13 discussion, and I think Vody Bachum put it pretty well. Well, let's just give that a listen. Well, you know, there's the you know, Ezra Taft Benson and the proper role of government. The problem is, you know, Glenn Beck, being a fellow Mormon, I presume, however, not in good standing because, you know, he believes that the universe is God, or the force that George Lucas is talking about that was borrowed from Blavatsky and Theosophy. I digress. Which isn't surprising. You know, Glenn Beck talks about principles, and it's not principles. It's checking in with the author and finisher of one's faith constantly. That's what it's all about. Because, as I said, those kinds of dogmas, you know, principles basically declare God dead. I have established this. It puts, you know, it elevates the man's knowledge above God and says, you know, I have no further need of input. Not necessarily intentionally. It is with the best of intention these principles are created, kind of like Peter trying to build a tabernacle. We'll build a tabernacle. It'll be great. No. You have the living God with you. Don't make a dead thing. So, I guess we'll wait to play that clip on the other side of the break. It's a short little clip, but it's kind of an explainer. You know, we're led to believe, you know, the Christian community is supposed to be entirely subservient, and there are different ways to address the issue of bad government. I don't think the ballot box is one that is, you know, the exclusive method of redress. That's my opinion. I think maybe that falls somewhere in the realm of Christian liberty. That's my perspective. Anyway, we'll give you that clip and move on when we come back. Stick around.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day. And in times of emergency, we have added new products each week to our store. your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
It's the good life. Full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. All right. I suppose we will start with the clip. So government, from a Christian perspective, this is a pretty good hot take. Go ahead, please.
Jesus' time, though, Caesar was, you know, was not a good...
No, absolutely. But we have to understand what the purpose of government is.
Yes.
Right?
To protect rights.
Yeah, absolutely. And to, you know... encourage what is good and mm-hmm. to punish what is evil, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's government's purpose. it's not government's purpose, for example, to be in the business of raising children. It's not government's purpose, you know, to be in the business even of taking care of the poor. That's not their sphere, right?
And it's our sphere and the churches.
It absolutely is. So from that standpoint, you know, Abraham Kuyper had, you know, this big idea of sphere sovereignty, right? God gives us these institutions. He gives us the family. He gives us the state, mm-hmm. and he gives us the church. These three different spheres, right? Mm-hmm. And these three different spheres have certain responsibilities, and they have sovereignty in those, you know, particular spheres. And what we have is we've got these jurisdictional usurpations of sphere sovereignty, like the government basically, you know, usurping the sphere sovereignty of the home, of the family. So again, but just particularly back to economics, the idea of personal property, the idea of personal responsibility, the idea of, you know,
how is personal property tie into the
saving?
Lord?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're told, for example, in the Bible that we shouldn't move, you know, the ancient landmarks. You know, we're the idea of people's property being their own in the New Testament. You know, Ananias and Sapphira. Everybody talks about, you know, Ananias and Sapphira because, you know, God judges them because they withheld, you know, part of the money mm-hmm. that they got, you know, from the sale of their home. The problem wasn't that they, you know, didn't give that up, right? Peter says, you know what? Before you sold that, that was yours. But then you sold it, and you said that you were going to give it, right?
Right?
That's where the judgment came. But before you sold that, that was yours. It didn't belong to someone else. It belonged to you, right? I mean, you know, the respect for personal property, the stewardship of personal property, you know, the parable of the talents, you know, all of these things mm-hmm. Are clearly outlined in the scriptures if we are willing to study to show ourselves approved, if we're willing to, you know, tease these things out. And not only that, but we also see the things that are wrong when government, for example, begins to usurp the sphere of the family. You know, families, by the way, were meant to be places of, you know, not just consumption, mm-hmm. but places of production, right? So anyway.
Let me build on that a bit with this question.
All right. That should be it, right? Okay. So the Abraham Kuyper sphere sovereignty stuff, notwithstanding, I think that's a pretty good distillation. That, again, falls into those, I would say, you know, dogmas. However biblically rooted, what do you mean? I've explained before. I don't want to get into it right now. So I'm going to set that aside in the interest of time. I really wanted to get to this piece that Joseph B. Tyson wrote and go point by point. I might have to do that tomorrow. To the phones for now. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, Chris, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
I got a suggestion. Now, this isn't written in stone, but it is a big chore for Christians to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But here is my suggestion, and it's only a suggestion, but read the four Gospels first, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, I suggest you start in the four Gospels, go to the last one, John, and then go back to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then after that, go to Daniel, chapters 7 and 8, and then jump to Revelation, chapters 12 and 13. And that will give you a lot of understanding. But I suggest strongly, whatever church, Christian church that you belong to, question the pastor. Now, I'm not saying that all pastors are bad, but there's a vast majority of pastors is just as ignorant as their people in the churches. And I don't mean to be condemning all pastors, but your last clip was terrific. And what you do in the first hour of your show, you give out so much information, and I think it's vital, and I agree practically every day I listen to you. But I'll repeat it again, and this isn't written in stone. Read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I suggest you start with John and then go back and read the rest. But if you want to shorten it, just read the Gospel of John, go back to Daniel chapter 7 and 8, and after you've read them, go to Revelation 12 and 13, chapters 12 and 13, and then you can go back and forth between Revelation 12 and 13 and Daniel chapter 7 and 8. Now, that's a big chore and a lot of reading, but question your pastors, and you can. It requires a lot of effort and a lot of work, but discernment. But here's another thing: is who is teaching you? If they're in error, you're going to be just as screwed up. Now, I'm going to make this suggestion, and I believe it strongly, but I say amazingdiscoveries.org, but you can go to YouTube and ADTV. And it will explain a lot. Now, I'm going to repeat this again. The short one is read the Gospel of John. Go to Daniel, chapters 7 and 8. Then go to Revelation, chapters 12 and 13. Now, this isn't written in stone, but the Old Testament is every bit as important as the New Testament. I'm not suggesting just stay in the New Testament. And that's all I got to say. And thank you for the time, Chris.
Absolutely. Thank you, Fred.
Yep.
Much appreciated.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. So I would say, I mean, that's good advice. I would say, in my humble estimation, I would point to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 first, the secret decoder ring, and then Romans, which is, you know, some people consider it a mini Bible. But above all that, really, you know, again, speaking of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you know, and the point of saying that, the secret decoder ring is, you know, it's the Holy Spirit, and the Bible cannot be discerned. You know, to the natural man, it's foolishness. So you need that secret decoder ring to understand it. And I have, you know, who can understand the mind of God but the Spirit of God? And I've always advocated that actually, you know, we can have our opinions, and that's great. You know, if somebody asks, we can offer those things, but hopefully that's based on the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, and that's where that comes from. In other words, the best judge of where, if you're not reading and you're curious and all of that, the best judge of that is the Holy Spirit. No one can outdo the Holy Spirit, obviously, because again, who can know the mind of God but the Spirit of God? And so there's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. On the subject of, you know, searching the scriptures, that's the Berean call, basically, of Acts 17, as it has been put. And on the subject of discernment, there are many passages throughout the Bible, but I always think of that one that I mentioned from time to time in Hebrews 5, the, you know, Melchizedek priesthood, and the author says, concerning him we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. You have become dull of hearing. Yikes. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Who are the keepers of the oracles of God historically, by the way, before Christ shows up? And not and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. One other sort of closing point just before we get to the end, because we're approaching the end. You know, speaking of this government thing and all of that, you know, again, I think there are different responses. But it's interesting, you know, again, prayer is something that is constantly dissuaded and discouraged in a variety of ways, whether it's busyness or whatever. It's just not the natural inclination. When was the last time we heard a president declare, you know, that we were going to, we're going to have a day, you know, Jonah's gospel, basically, yet 40 days. And so the president says, let's just take a break. We're going to take a break. We're all going to pray together as a nation. Historically, we do have that in our DNA, and we've come so far. And how is it working? How is all of this rabid criticism and whatever else, whatever title you want to give it, we can stick a label on it. But like I said yesterday, the minute you start to pin things down, the labels change. That's part of the deal, part of the game, part of the hijinks. But you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, well, verse 13 first, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. It's interesting. There's a, you know, the social justice warriors are everywhere in Isaiah chapter 1, I would say, and God can't stand it. You know, you have this, if my people were called by my name, who is that? And, you know, he says, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That's, wow. So if my people were called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I think the thing, thinking about it, reflecting on it lately, that is most often missed is the seeking his face. And I think more than anything, that really sort of encompasses all the rest. You know, seeking his face. I mean, you think about a busy husband at dinner with his wife, you know, some kind of corporate magnate or something, and they're out to dinner and they're doing a fancy thing and he's trying to pay attention to her or whatever, sort of, but he's distracted, or he's asking something of her that is some agenda that he has, and it's maybe it's charity or something, and let's do this. And she just wants to get to know him. And same can be said here. You know, we heard it from Clarence Harden earlier. That's the thing that is left out of the discussion. Everyone's busy. Who has time? Who has time? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a
back. It's interesting, you know, that we live in a time and age categorized by criticism and skepticism and the nihilistic bent. And in contrast to that, speaking of just the book of Luke, you know, we heard Chuck Messler tell the story of the Rotorua chief who, I mean, it changed everything. Just the Gospel of Luke. Fascinating. And so, you know, among other things, that peace and peacemaking is, again, what the Prince of the Power of the Air is seeking to undo in revolutionary fashion, world revolutionary movement fashion, and the Copernican overturning of all things. So I mentioned Chuck Messler's article, Dr. Luke, the Gentile Gospel. That's an interesting read. That's the Gentile Gospel. What of the specific question, you know, is Luke a Jew or a Gentile? Well, to answer specifically, I would say the question on the face of it is a logical fallacy. It's a false dilemma. It's a false dichotomy. Anybody who would raise it, I don't think understands what they're talking about. Or, you know, if there is some theologian, you know, professed Christian, I think they need to go back and, you know, like Fred said, not in a usurpative sort of way, but just to, you know, again, testing the spirits and, you know, what's really going on here. The correct answer to the question of whether Luke is a Jew or a Gentile is neither. Galatians 3:28 says there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that we start endorsing gender pronouns and shenanigans like that. Obviously that's no. But you're all one in Christ Jesus. So there's the answer. Or, you know, if you want to split hairs, we could say, you know, Romans 2 and Romans 9, for lack of, in the interest of time, I'll leave it at that. And then there's the issue of this hostility and so forth. It's insane. I'll unpack this tomorrow, I think. I'll just get straight to this. It's probably worth doing. You know, the term Christian and anti-Semitism, those terms are mutually exclusive. They don't go together. Christians have a unique fondness for the descendants of Shem and appreciate the natural olive branch as much as anyone. Obviously, I'll unpack that more tomorrow. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.